Good morning, everybody. Good morning on this Sunday morning, April the 5th, I believe it is. I pray everybody's doing well today. We have had a lot of storms this week here in Tennessee. And they just announced that there was an earthquake last night in West Tennessee, right there on the New Madrid fault line. It's about a, let me look at this story here. Like a 3.7, I think it was. Let's see. 2.7. In Dyersburg, Tennessee, right there on the New Madrid fault line, seismic zone. They call it the New Madrid seismic zone. But one thing I do want to remind everybody of is the path of the storms this past week with all of this heavy flooding, which they say is going to bring 15 inches of water, is right on the same zone and the same path that the New Madrid fault line is on and where the eclipse was, you know, what they called the path of totality. So you cannot make it up, you know, what the beast is trying to do in this hour. So this leads into my next thing. This week we did a 3-day fast, the ministry did, and we had a lot of miracles happen. And I'm going to recap what happened. We did it to focus on what God has to say right now because of all the things that we know is happening in the world and the way everything is moving so fast and how, you know, all the other political stuff going on. But anyway, and then we wanted to pray for our families and whatnot. So God met us at the point of our expectation every day. So I want to give you as a church a recap of what happened. As soon as I can find it in my journal here. Okay. Here it was. On the first day of our 3-day fast, I had two dreams. And one dream was there was a tornado coming and they were telling us to get out of this house. So as we were getting out of the house to go into the shelter, we had to step over these dead bodies. Now we knew that the dead bodies had died from a pestilence, which, you know, some type of disease or whatever. But we went down into a shelter and then we was safe from the storm. Okay. And then the second dream was there was a car accident on a bridge. Oh, let me make sure y'all can hear me. Okay. Yes. Good morning, Miss Carly. Good morning, everybody. In the second dream, there was a car accident by the bridge and one of the men was catapulted out of the car. And he went in the river and he was down on the bottom of the river and the water, the weight of the water was pushing him down. And he was looking up at the man, the guy that he was with in the car, looking down at him at the bridge. The guy looking down at him couldn't see him. Okay, he was wondering what happened to his friend. But the guy under the water could see him. But he couldn't do anything because of the weight of the water and whatever, and he was injured. But he was still alive. So the Lord told us in that day that the Lord is with us and we have the protection of the Lord at all times in emergency situations. And for us to speak to the wind is what God said on day one. And this was before the tornadoes and stuff hit. And this, you know, hit us. It was the next day. So you cannot make it up because it's just like the last one that we had last year, right before the Hurricane Helene happened. And God gave me a dream about that one, remember, where the waters was coming up around that woman, flooding her, and then the flood hit right after that. But anyway, God was communicating to us as a church that we have authority. We have authority. We are never alone. 1 John chapter 2, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus. And then that we have a GPS system that is on us at all times. We are marked. We are in Him. Okay? So now that you're in Him, we have a new light. When we get baptized, we get filled with a new light. And that light shines very bright. It is the true light. And then the Lord encouraged us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, to love not the world nor the things in the world. And then we studied Galatians chapter 3 about law versus faith. And we discovered that we talked about the full armor of God being the priestly garment, and that we are adopted into the beloved. We have no, once we are in Him, we have no more identity. And then we went into Galatians 4, that we are a son, we are an heir, and whatnot. So God healed our communication system also. That was another cool thing. And then one of the days we had a storm and we were without light, so we had to go to the next day, which was on Friday. Okay, and then God sealed it up really nice on Friday. I had another dream that I was in like a resort place or a condo on the second floor. I was in the bed and an angel spoke to me and said, "Expect miracles everywhere." And then I woke up and there was money all over the bed. And there were like $20 and $100 bills folded up in squares all over the bed. I gathered them all up, and then some young men came into the condo and said that they were there to move us out. They were laughing, but kind of dreading having to carry things down the steps. So the interpretation was is that God was telling us to be ready to move with Him. He has the provision, not to limit Him, and He will give us helpers and provision. And then, so that was a, if y'all get a chance, because I read the book of Ruth to everyone on that one about expecting miracles. So, like Pastor Parsley says, expectancy is the breeding ground of miracles. If we have it set in our heart that we believe in our God and that He is going to take care of us, protect us, lead us and guide us, that He will be faithful and He will lead us through. So that's basically what the 3-day fast was. We got a lot of good reports. We ended the week and we sealed it with communion. And we thanked the Lord, that He had been with us and helped us to have the courage and the strength to believe Him for greatness. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? So, anyways, I just want to thank all of you guys that, was a part of the 3-day deal and partnering with us and everything. Thank you, thank you. It was a very precious time, and I feel rejuvenated. And I feel encouraged, by our time that we spent together with the Lord this week. And so I want to read you real quick Psalms 56. If you'll turn your Bible, Psalm 56. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fights daily, oppressing me. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are evil against me. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps and they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In your anger, cast down your people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears in my bottle. Are they not in your book? But when I cry unto you, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, here we go, for God is with me. Everybody repeat after me this morning. God is with me. We have to know that. So in God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Isn't that beautiful? Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Isn't that beautiful? In other words, Lord, make our crooked paths straight. Help us, Lord, to live rightly among people. Make our crooked path straight. So let's sing a couple of songs this morning, because Pastor, he's got something for you this morning. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Take my heart, take my life as a living sacrifice. All my hopes, all my dreams, I give them all to you. I give myself away. Hey, yeah. I give myself away so you can use me. Praise you, Jesus. You are worthy to be praised this morning, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for our time together. Lord, I thank you for our brothers and sisters out there, Lord. I pray you bless them today, Lord. Give them peace. If they're going through these storms, Lord, give them peace in the midst of the storm, Lord. Help them to get through it, Lord. Give them wisdom, Lord. We thank you and give you praise, Lord, for all that you're doing in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys. So let me see if Pastor's ready. Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, sir. Good morning, Pastor. Let's see if I got this. Sorry. Dennis, we're ready for you. He may have stepped away for a minute.
No, no. It was muted.
Okay, sir. You got the floor.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for being here today. Hope everybody's keeping dry with all this rain. It's been kind of a crazy week. And as June was saying, boy, time is just flying by. Yesterday when she asked if I had something ready, I'm like, what? It's only Tuesday. And she says, no, today's Saturday. And I'm like, what? So I hardly had anything ready, but I had something going and I really didn't know where I was going with it, but bear with me today. And we've got something for you. And then it's been, like I said, kind of a very busy week with all the rain and keeping an eye on things around here, and had some fencing get washed out. We had some electric fencing that goes across the creek, and well, the creek went way over its banks today, or past couple days twice already, and last night it might, I don't know, but anyway, it's been one of them weeks. Time just is flying by, and I believe time goes faster the closer Jesus is coming. So that's awesome the way I look at it, you know. We just got to hang in there, and part of my message is going to be about that, is hold fast. So thank you once again for everybody being here, and let's just get going here and turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, and let's start with verse 9. And this is where Jesus calls Matthew, okay? And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the recept of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Ain't that just awesome? I mean, Jesus just says, follow me. And what's he do? He just gets up and follows him. Verse 10, and it came to pass, as Jesus sat at the meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Interesting, that word, behold. You know, it's like, ooh, look. Here's all these, I guess, tax collectors and sinners, you know, they all came and sat down, you know, with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees, verse 11, saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why eateth your master with the publicans and sinners?" But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what meaneth, and I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And we're just going to stop there. Jesus was sitting, as Jesus was sitting there and eating at the house with Matthew, these tax collectors and sinners and his disciples, the Pharisees saw this. And they asked Jesus' disciples, "Why is he eating with publicans," which, are the tax collectors, "and sinners?" These Pharisees sort of like the, they're like the ancient Jewish high priest, or, they were very prideful and strict in keeping to tradition and the law of its religion. And I just want to point that out. And as I was reading this and making my notes, that word, thinking about this, and that word tradition just stuck out at me. And that's kind of where I'm going to end with this here, kind of go with this here. They were, these Pharisees, they were keeping to tradition and the law. And we know that, when that veil was torn, like we talked last week, the law went out the door. Jesus fulfilled it. But, they also made a big show of religion, rather than following the Holy Spirit. And, they thinking themselves better than any man or woman, they were very rigid. Observance of the external forms of religion without genuine piety and mercy. And that kind of stuck out at me, thinking about that too, mercy. We all need God's, mercy, and that refers to God's compassion and leniency, especially with dealing with those who have sinned and done wrong. We've all been there. It's about God's withholding punishment or judgment, that we fully deserve. Mercy is a response to our actions showing compassion instead of enacting justice. So we just have to thank the Lord for his mercy. And these people had no mercy towards other people. They were self-righteous and full of hypocrisy. They were making this outward show of religion or morals without the real spirit, of compassion and mercy. When I looked up, it's interesting too, because when I looked up Pharisees, in my Bible dictionary, it's like, wow, it had two full pages, of that information about Pharisees. And one, it talked about where the name come from, and I'm not going to get into all that, but I'm just letting you know that. Then there is about the origins, and three, teachings, and four, practices, and then five, it was about Phariseeism and Christianity compared, and it was a pretty in-depth study. I mean, a guy could have really, they had scriptures to back it all and everything. It's a big study in itself just about the Pharisees, which we're not going to get into. But when Jesus hears these Pharisees asking, his disciples this, in verse 12, he says, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And in verse 13, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know, Jesus' ministry is centered around reaching out to those who recognize their need for God's grace and forgiveness. You know, and that's, you know, top of the thing is, you know, people have to recognize their need, you know, for Jesus. They have to recognize, you know, who they are, or who they aren't, you should say, you know. They have to recognize that their need for God's grace and his mercy and his forgiveness, you know. And that's why it says he's called to repentance. You know, we need to acknowledge those things, you know, and ask God. You know, but they believe, you know, that they were already righteous. They didn't need Jesus. The blindness of the Pharisees are depicted as being self-righteous and unable to see their need for mercy and forgiveness. You know, and that's why they were so critical of Jesus as association with the sinners and tax collectors. They're like, wow, why is he hanging out with them? You know, Jesus emphasizes that God's true desire is for people to show real compassion and act with mercy. I don't know about you out there, but, you know I need to practice that more. We all need to. Rather than following religious rituals and traditions, and again, that word tradition, are making sacrifices, you know, the law. Jesus' words imply a call to repentance, urging those who recognize their sinfulness to turn to God for forgiveness. And what a new life in Christ. Amen. So, Lord, I just want to pray right now, Lord, that you just prick our souls, Lord, and bring to our remembrance of where we need to turn to you, Lord. But we need to ask for forgiveness of our shortcomings, our sins, and where we never had compassion, Lord. And just draw us closer to you, Lord, that we be in Christ and not of this world. We talked about that last week. So we just thank you, Lord, for your word. Amen. You know, Jesus is presented as a physician who heals the sick or the sinners, you know, highlighting his role as savior and healer. And this, when I was reading, you know, writing this down, I'm thinking, wow, you know, it's not just, you know, he heals the sick. And, you know, he's our savior and our healer. It's not just physical healing. It's spiritual. Physical and spiritual, the two go together. And I know we've talked about this many times. But, you know, Matthew, a former tax collector, think about it. You know, he had a unique perspective on this as he appreciated the undeserved kindness. You know, accorded him as a tax collector to become an apostle of Jesus Christ, of the Messiah. And what is that? That's grace. You know, we just got to thank the Lord for his grace, you know. It's like an example that would salvation through faith in Jesus, forgiveness of sins, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's grace. You know, we undeserved favor, unmerited, you know, for the kindness and blessing that we freely are giving, you know, and we didn't have to earn it. We don't deserve it, but we're getting it. And just want to really express His grace and His mercy. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. And I started this reading this earlier in the week, and then just got sidetracked with all the things going on. And so I kind of went back to it, and I'm like, okay, why did I write that scripture down? So we're just going to start reading and see. Let's see, 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I think it was, you know, Paul's thankfulness for mercy. And let's go to, let's see, verse 12. In the beginning of this chapter, you know, he is his encouragement in persecution, okay, in tribulation, you know. But we're going to go down to verse 12, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. And we talked about in Christ, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoops, I'm sorry. I was in Thessalonians there. Whoops. Oh, here we go. I'm sorry. 1 Timothy 1. But that was good too, amen. 1 Timothy, okay, here it is. 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he accounted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and a worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. See, there he is. He's acknowledging, you know, that he is a sinner. He was the chief sinner, he's saying. Verse 16, how about, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Wow, we have to, you know, when we acknowledge and we come to that knowledge of, wow, what he did for us. Just think about that, all that Jesus did for us. And we have to believe on him to everlasting life. Verse 17, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Woo. Verse 18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which before on thee, which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Wow. I want to read that verse again. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Well, that, we can put it and make turn that into a prayer. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that your word, the prophecy, the things that we know are true, that we read and study, that they help us, Lord, to war a good warfare, to stand strong in Christ. Amen. Verse 19, holding faith and holding, and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So Paul is so thankful for God's, or, you know, he's telling Timothy how thankful for the Lord's grace and his mercy. You know, it's interesting, much of what is written in 1 Timothy, also in 2 Timothy. Let's see, 2 Timothy. Verse 13, I want to read there. Well, actually, let's go up to verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And here's that verse. Verse 13, hold fast. He's telling him, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, kept by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, back to 1 Timothy. Let's see, where is it? First Timothy, but it's, you know, it's a pattern. It's about a pattern to them which should thereafter believe on him to everlasting. Amen. By him, Jesus, all that believe are justified. Let me see here. I kind of got this. You know, it's about believing on him to everlasting. You know, Acts 13:39. It's by him, you know, believing on him, believing by him, Jesus, that all that believe are justified. So it's believing on him, by him. Now, I guess that's kind of what I was wanting to express. You know, it's Jesus. And let's turn to Acts 13. Acts 13. And this kind of goes, let's see here. Acts 13, verse 39. Verse 39, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, through a man declare unto you. And this goes back to that I talked about last week about ignorance. We did a whole thing on being willingly ignorant. And I, like I was talking to June yesterday, I was saying, man, the more I read and study God's word, just all through it, he warns us not to be willingly ignorant, you know, of the truth. And how not only us not to be willing, how so many are, you know, willingly ignorant of the truth. They just want to live their lives, you know, the ways of this world, and just leave me alone, you know. They just want half-truths. They just want their ears tickled. You know, they don't believe. They're rejecting God's word. And that goes to back to traditions. Matthew 16. Let's turn to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. And this is about the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know, verses 1 through 12. And let's go down. Well, let's just start with verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, this is Jesus, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye not discern the signs of the times? He's that putting that in question form. You know, you can't even discern the signs of the times. They didn't realize who Jesus was, you know, and why he was there. Verse 4, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So, you know, he's warning them. Take heed. Hey, be aware of the leaven, you know, the teachings of these Pharisees and Sadducees. And that's what we need to do. Be very alert and look at all the false teachings out there today. Or I should say half-truths. You know, there's a lot of good messages out there. And me and June was talking about this. But they're only teaching half the truth. They're not telling the whole story. Let's go down to verse. Well, let's keep reading. And they reason among themselves, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread." Which, when Jesus perceived it, he said unto them, "O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and now many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, or how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand what I spoke it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees?" Here he is again, pointing out, beware. "Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." So, over and over in scriptures, he warns, there's warning, beware, beware. Beware of these false teachers. Beware of these, you know, these doctrines of men. Beware of the leaven, you know. Let's go back to, we're in Matthew. Let's go back to chapter 15. And all of chapter, well, the whole first part of chapter 15 is he talks about the things that defile. And same with chapter 16, he's talking about the things that defile. You know, it's these teachings and doctrines of these Pharisees and Sadducees. They'll defile you, you know. Let's go to we're in Matthew 15, verse 3. "But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye transgress the commandments of God by your tradition?" Why do ye transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, "Honor thy father and mother. And he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whatsoever ye shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." Wow. Verse 7, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoring me not, and honoring me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men." But it goes on and on, and it just, again, over and over, he's warning them against the doctrines of man. You know, it's just these two chapters just explain. I mean, you really gotta grasp that, what it does. Let's turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians, he's talking about, you know, well, let me find here, chapter 2, verse 6. And again, the first part of chapter 2, he's warning against false teachings, verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And just, I want to go back to that word. Where is it here? Verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Remember that word, that beguile. You know. Let's continue. Verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And again, this is about the qualifications of a witness. Okay? And this could be a whole, there's so much on this. Rooted and built up in him, established in faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, here it is. Again, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Amen. But it's interesting that verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. But let's go back to that verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. But remember that word beguile? Well, here it is, Genesis chapter 3. And this is, Genesis 3 is about the fall of man. Okay? In verse 12, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. The serpent beguiled. Wow. And that word beguile, it means to charm, enchant someone, sometimes in a deceptive way, led astray. Here, way up here in the first, Genesis. It's the fall of man. Genesis 3, the curse, verses 14 through 20. The expulsion from the garden, verses 21 through 24. Serious stuff, to be beguiled, to be charmed. And I think that's so many people, again, going back to, they just want their ears tickled. But let's turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. And these are, I don't know how to say this, but let's just read here. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Yeah, let's start at verse 1 and got to get the context. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And so let's just stop there. And this verse 4, just put your name in there and put your date. I've got about 5 or 6 dates here, going clear back to 2020. You know, when I read this verse, wow, who gave himself for our sins, who gave himself for me, Dennis Weir, that he might deliver me. He gave himself, Christ, he gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver me from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. To him be the glory forever and ever. And it's the same as what Paul, he says, I marvel that ye are also, that are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Whoa. Verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that ye have received, let him be accursed. Wow. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither receive it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen, huh? For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion. Now that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father So what's he doing? He's acknowledging. Wow. You know, he was, you know, the worst of sinners. He profited so much from being coming against really the truth. But verse 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Thank you, Lord, for grace. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. But bottom line, it's the ministry of the gospel, the true gospel. You know, he was just so thankful for his mercy, the Lord's mercy. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Oops, went too far. Second Thessalonians. And if you read, actually, it's that whole first chapter. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the gathering together of unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by the word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. What's he saying? That ye be not soon shaken in mind. Don't be upset. Don't be troubled. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Remember, he's reminding them. I told you this, these things were coming. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in this time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now leth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Woo, come, Lord Jesus. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. It's kind of like the weather. I don't know about you out there, but we believe a lot of it's all man-made. Lying signs and wonders in the weather alone, not to mention so many other things. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Do you love the truth out there? You have to love the truth. Because the truth will set you free. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Not only the truth will set you free, it sanctifies you. It sets you apart. You've been called. So you have to accept truth. Verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle, the truth. And now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. Amen. It's about holding fast to the truth, holding fast to the to God's grace and his mercy too. Wow. Thank you, Lord. You know, and then when you go to the next chapter, chapter 3, it's all about holding fast also. Holding fast, which was handed down to you by what? By the truth, by God's word. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 11. First Corinthians chapter 11. And this is the bottom. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and that the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And that's where I'm going to end this today. Father God, we just thank you. We just thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that Christ is our head. Hallelujah. We just thank you, Father, for your word, that your word would set us free from the traditions of man, and that we would hold fast to your word, Lord, because your word is the truth which sets us free. 2 Corinthians 3:17, or where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So, Father God, we just thank you. And I ask, Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit upon the words today, Lord, spoken, upon your word, that it would prick our hearts and draw us to repentance, Lord, for the remission of our sins. That the Spirit of the Lord would set us free from all the traditions of man and all the lies and the things we're seeing out there, the half-truths, Lord. That you would just lead us and guide us in peace. Philippians, the peace that surpasses all understanding. that would guard over our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We just thank you, Lord, for peace. I was laying in bed the other night again just thinking about that peace. It's my favorite scripture. You just can't express enough that we need the peace. We need the Lord's peace to guard over our hearts and minds in such troubled times. So I just thank you, Lord, that you would bless people with peace and joy, that the joy of the Lord would be their strength to overcome all the wiles of the devil, Lord. Hallelujah. We just thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace towards each one of us. As we come to accept truth, Lord, and because it's what sets us free. For your glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Well, thank you everybody for being here.
Well, I just want to say this, Pastor. I'm happy we was able to be here with this weather.
Yeah.
You know, I told them last night in the chat room that, you know, with the storms, we woke up this morning and still have 10 notices this morning, 10 alarms.
Yeah.
10 warnings about severe flooding we have in this area with our rivers and the creeks and stuff like that. And we know because of what happened in North Carolina how serious flooding can be, and there is already people that have lost their lives. One man was stuck in his car and got flooded in his car. That was
Really?
Yes. Because you just can't trust the water. You know, it'll overflow you real fast. But anyway, we just appreciate the church so much, you know, prayers and everything, and having grace like the other day when we was not even able to do our prayer call, which we are very faithful to do those because we didn't have electricity till about 11 o'clock. But I want to go back to your sermon, Pastor, because your main point today is freedom in his grace and mercy. And this is something that is kind of an extenuation of our 3-day fast, where God was telling us, you know, it's not the law. It is his grace. It's his mercy. It's knowing who we are in Christ, you know. And this is what sets us free, not the systems of men. Because remember, that's what NAR wants, is people to build up the system. But we're not here to build up the system. We're to build up Jesus, you know. And so anyways, as Carla keeps reminding me every week, I want to encourage you guys to tithe and to give and to support the ministry. Thank you, Miss Carla. I know. She's like, pass the offering basket. Thank you guys so much. But we enjoyed spending time with you guys this morning. We are very thankful that we was even able to be with you guys this morning and to be able to deliver this word, and that we had electricity to where we could do our church service this morning. So we bless you guys today. Pray you have a wonderful day. Stay safe, and we will see you in the morning on our prayer call. Okay? So you guys have a great day. God bless.